I call to order this regular session of the City Council of Atascadero, and I will ask Councilmember Funk to lead us in a pledge to the flag.
Please rise as you're able.
Roll call, please.
Councilmember Warbo.
Here.
Councilmember Darris.
Here.
Councilmember Funk.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Newsom.
Here.
Mayor Moreno.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. Well, if you are, those of you who are here in person, welcome. If you are on the webinar, you're watching online, streaming, one of the many ways that you can watch our meeting, welcome you tonight. If you would like to call in to speak on any item, whether it's the community forum or any item that's on our agenda, I'm going to give you that phone number to call. It is area code 669-900-6833. I'll say that one more time. It's 669-900-6833. And then there is a meeting ID, and that meeting ID is 889-2347-9018. Give that one more time, 889-2347-9018. It is also on the front of the agenda, and so you can find that. If you'd like to call in, please do. You can let us know when you do call in what item you are wishing to speak on. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
I move approval of the agenda.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Borbeau, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Newsom, and we will waive the reading in full of all ordinances appearing on this agenda, and the titles of the ordinances will be read aloud by the city clerk at the first reading after the motion and before the city council votes. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. We do have one presentation this evening. This is a proclamation proclaiming May as National Foster Care Awareness Month. And we have, is it Michaela, all right, Michaela Anderson and Rosario DePew will be receiving this. And I'm going to ask Councilmember Funk to read the proclamation and then we'll invite you up.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. A proclamation declaring May 2022 is National Foster Care Awareness Month. Whereas National Foster Care Awareness Month is celebrated nationally to raise awareness about foster care and to encourage more community involvement as resource families, volunteers, mentors, and employers. And whereas there are more than 430,000 children in the United States, more than 60,000 children in California, and over 350 children, youth, and teenagers in the county of San Luis Obispo currently in the foster care system. And whereas, to help these children have a healthy, loving, and stable home environment where they can thrive and feel connected to a community that cares for them, and to support the resource families that provide these critical homes, the city of Atascadero is hereby acknowledging National Foster Care Month to help raise awareness about the need for more resource family homes for local children. And whereas this effort, along with similar celebrations in all 50 states and the District of Columbia, will help children to have the chance to live with healthy, loving, and stable resource families when they cannot live with their birth families, and will encourage other dedicated individuals to make a powerful difference in the lives of a child. Now, therefore, on behalf of the City Council of the City of Atascadero, I do hereby proclaim that May 2022 is National Foster Care Awareness Month and urge Atascadero citizens to join in the national effort to raise awareness about the importance of foster care and resource family care. Heather Moreno, Mayor, City of Atascadero, California.
Thank you, Councilmember Funk. And I'd like to invite Michaela and Rosario up. Love to hear a few words from you.
Oh, hold on a
Good afternoon. I'm Rosario Dupuy, Child Welfare Services.
If you could get a little closer to the mic. So there we go.
Fabulous. Good afternoon. I'm Rosario Dupuy, a Child Welfare Services Program Review Specialist with the Department of Social Services.
Hello, my name is Michaela Anderson, and I'm a Child Welfare Services Program Review Specialist as well. We would like to begin by thanking the Atascadero City Council for presenting the Department of Social Services with this proclamation. During the month of May, we are incredibly proud to honor all of our county's foster and adoptive families, as well as all the county staff and community partners that support these families. Foster care is an integral part of the continuum of care for children in need. On average, our department receives close to 270 reports of child abuse each month. These reports are evaluated, triaged, and responded to by dedicated staff of social workers who seek to work with the families to stabilize and address safety concerns. However, if the child cannot remain safely in their home, staff must make the difficult decision to place them into foster care in order to avoid further abuse. These children and their families receive services, including mental health, treatment for addictions, parenting classes, services for their medical needs, and of course, a resource family who provides a stable home for the children to live in while their family works to address the concerns that brought the children into foster care and while they work towards family reunification.
At any given time, approximately 350 children, youth, and teens are placed in care, and only 120 families to care for them. Our youth come into care through no fault of their own and are often the victims of abuse, neglect, abandonment, or mental illness. Our agency is still dealing with the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic and its negative effects on our already strained number of existing resource family homes. Our need for resource family homes is greater than ever. When faced with a deficit of this magnitude, we struggle to provide even the most basic resource family matching and are often forced to place a youth anywhere there is an available bed. This leads to resource family fatigue if it is not a good fit and further placement stability issues with the youth, requiring an additional placement move. Our hope in sharing this information today is to help bring more eyes to a very present crisis we are facing in our own backyard. Our goal is to recruit, train, and support the development of many more resource family homes in our county. This will yield a greater opportunity for our department to place a youth where they have the best opportunity to heal and drive and thrive while in our care. Each new resource family brings with it an opportunity to help serve multiple youth in our county's care and also provide additional support for our existing resource families who have gone above and beyond serving our youth during this deficit. Thank you again for recognizing May as National Foster Care Month in San Luis Obispo County. If anyone is interested in learning more about how to help youth in care, please visit www.slowfostercare.com or call 805-781-1705. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Slowfostercare.com. Is that correct? All right. Would you like to take a picture and receive the proclamation? We'd love to come around and do that with you. We are on to our consent calendar. And items on the consent calendar are considered to be routine and non-controversial by city staff and can be just voted in one motion unless there is a member of the council wishing to pull an item or a member of the public. So I will look to my colleagues on screen. Am I seeing anyone wishing to pull an item? Seeing none, I will look to the public. Is there anyone here wishing to pull an item? I see nobody on the webinar. You could raise your hand if you're on the phone, *9. No, do we have the phone tonight, Luke? No one on the phone? Okay. Seeing no one, I will ask for a motion.
I'll move approval of the consent calendar.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Borbeau, a second by Councilmember Darris. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Next, we are on to updates from the city manager. Ms. Rickard.
Thank you, Mayor and council members.
The first thing I want to talk about tonight are a couple of new or relocated restaurants here in town. First of all, Mountain Mike's Pizza is now open. So I know we've all seen the signs right there next to Holiday Inn Express. They are located at 9006 West Front Road. And welcome. They'd love to have a lot of our business. And I hear they make amazing pizza. So please check them out. And then we have Garcia Mexican's restaurant, which has always been a favorite here in town. They have moved and they are now open at their new location at 9900 El Camino Real next to Chalk Mountain Deli. I heard they had an amazing Cinco de Mayo opening and we were all talking about their wonderful food there. So from all of the reviews we've heard, it's been great. Everybody loves the new location. So please give both Garcia and Mountain Mike's a try. Also would like to talk about Earthshine. We'll have you advance the slide. There we go. So on April 30th, Earthshine partnered with ABC Church in the city for another very successful Atascadero Community Cleanup Day. As you remember, they were also here in February. Removed literally tons of trash from the creek. They were back at it on April 30th. We're very grateful to both Earthshine and ABC Church, and of course, all of the wonderful volunteers who turned out again to help keep our community beautiful. Pizza and refreshments were provided for the volunteers by our own council member, Borbo. Thank you, Charles. Appreciate that. I know it makes a big difference. Next slide. We have Brew at the Zoo. I was at that event. It was held on Saturday, April 30th, and we had a great turnout. Over 735 people came out to enjoy the event, and over $25,000 was raised, with all proceeds benefiting the zoo's conservation and education programs. Guests enjoyed live music from two great bands, both Garden Party and the Vibe Setters. We had over 20 craft breweries, wineries, cideries, a variety of food trucks, games, and contests by Medina Light Show and Design. And of course, all of the animals were out and about, except those that go to bed a little bit early. But they were, most of them were very interested in seeing all these people. It was a wonderful night, beautiful evening. I was at the gate as people were leaving. Everybody told me what an amazing event it was, and they'd be back next year. So if you missed it, it will be back next year. Next slide. Another great event, Fire and Emergency Services Open House. We had a terrific community turnout for the fire department's open house, which was held this past Saturday at Fire Station Number 1. It was an amazing celebration. Mayor Moreno gave a short introductory speech. There was a flag ceremony and a Pledge of Allegiance by the Boy Scouts and a ceremonial flyover provided by the Australia Warbirds Museum. All of our city council members were there to support and enjoy the event, as was State Senator John Laird, who presented the department with a state resolution recognizing their 100 years of service to the community. A representative from Assembly Cunningham's office was also on hand. And most important, there were a lot of great fire safety demonstrations. The police canine unit was there. A lot of very interesting demos. All of our council members participated in the demos. We appreciate your help. It was a fun event. I heard great reviews from that. A lot of people said, hey, I thought I'd just stop by for 5 minutes, but got engrossed and stayed the whole afternoon. So good job to the fire department and to all who came out. We had another wonderful event. Every Mother's Day, we have something called Cookie Adventure at the zoo. So the Charles Paddock Zoo is the place to be on Mother's Day to enjoy a delicious treat as part of the 11th annual Cookie Adventure. Sunday's guests came to enjoy the animals and were able to sample a delicious variety of cookies, including macadamia, peanut butter, and M&M. So thank you to the Sun and Bun Bakery for being part of the event this year. It's a wonderful, very relaxed event. Take your kids out to the zoo in the wonderful sunshine, enjoy some cookies, and a nice day. Next, upcoming events. We have the citywide yard sale. The Joy Playground 5th Annual Citywide Yard Sale will be held this coming Saturday, May 14th, from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. This year's event will feature over 120 yard sales. So this is truly a bargain hunter's dream here. I know that I have a nephew that goes yarding all the time. Didn't know it was a thing, yarding, going to yard sales. So the digital map of the yard sale locations is available at atascaderoyardsale.com. And the map will also be in the Atascadero News starting Thursday. So the website again is atascaderoyardsale.com. Come out. A lot of the participants in the yard sale do donate a portion or all of their proceeds to the Parents for Joy. This is an important fundraiser to keep our playground up to date. We have another event called Pedal to the Gardens. This is to celebrate Bike to Work Week, and we're inviting bicyclists of all ages to join us at the new city event we're calling Pedal to the Garden on Tuesday, May 17th from 7:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. The event will be held on the steps of City Hall across from the Sunken Gardens and will feature a light breakfast and refreshments to thank and recognize community members who bike to work. Atascadero has an active multimodal commuter community, and with the return to work for many employees, this is a great opportunity to try commuting on two wheels. We actually have a lot of city employees here that do commute on their bikes daily, and attendees at the event will also learn more about the approved El Camino Real Downtown Infrastructure Enhancement Project, and which will incorporate a number of new multimodal, which means pedestrian, bikes, cars. So it'll have a bunch of features to increase transit access. And we have the Central Coast 5th Annual Lake Fest coming up. The Friends of the Lake and the Link Family Resource Center are teaming to present the two events in one. It is also Children's Day in the Park. The Lake Fest will be held on Saturday, May 21st from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Atascadero Lake Park. There will be a cardboard boat regatta and race, 2-for-1 zoo entry coupons, a fishing derby, plus live music by Bremantown, lots of fun kids activities, food, and a variety of vendors. It is also another wonderful day here, usually in the Atascadero. So have fun exploring all the different booths while learning about the many local resources that are available in our community for their children and their families. And for more information about our events, you can always go to www.visitatascadero.com. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Kind of excited. I have family visiting, and I just realized it coincides with the Lake Fest. And the last time they were visiting, they're out of state, was also Lake Fest. So kind of fun. So I was just wondering about the picture of the cyclist. Councilmember Bourbon and I were wondering, and we saw the two Ryans. We think it was Phil. And who was the fourth?
I think it was Bruce St. John.
Okay. Correct. Wonderful. All right. Love it. We had Bike to School Day that you know, RTA puts on. And so I was at Santa Rosa Academy last week. And so I think they have about 20 kids. Of course, I didn't bike because I had to get over to RTA anyway, because they always put that on the same day that the meeting is. But the principal there, and so kids, you know, biked over, and about 20 of them have participated. So very nice. All right, we are now on to our community forum. This is reserved for persons wishing to address the council on a matter that is under our jurisdiction, but not on the agenda this evening. Speakers are given 3 minutes, and we will have the timer up there for your, just so you can pace yourself. We allow a total of 30 minutes for community forum. So if you come forward and state your name for the record, we appreciate that. If you are here in chambers and planning to speak, kind of be moving in that direction. And I do see a hand in the webinar. We will get to you. I'll start with the folks here in person. First speaker.
Good evening, council and staff. Jeff Oslett, business owner, resident of Atascadero, and of course, I am running for county supervisor for our district too. We should have ballots in the mail tomorrow. They are due back by June 7th. Please vote. I want to thank the city for the proclamation for recognizing foster care. Some of you know that my wife and I do foster care, and it's a terrific thing if you're able to open your door and your hearts to do it. One of the children that we took in during the middle of the COVID pandemic, where nobody wanted a teenager, and that's what we did. So thank you very much. I do want to take a moment to say that we did have the last week the police memorial down in Pismo, which I attended. Somber event, because of course we did lose a San Luis officer last year that we all know, because he worked for the city of Atascadero, and that was Luca Benedetti. And tonight they're having the candlelight vigil in San Luis Obispo at Mission Plaza at 8:30 p.m. So just a moment of that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I think I saw Maggie Payne in the webinar. Let me go back to that. Yes, Maggie Payne.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Maggie Payne from the We Are the Care Initiative. I wanted to start off tonight with a quick story from a local parent, and she has told us, I had to find care for my infant son when my in-laws were suddenly unable to care for him any longer while my husband and I were at work. I added my son to 15 different wait lists, and over the next year and a half, I heard back from two. Neither of those centers were able to offer us a spot for my son during the time that we were in desperate need, and we had to piece together care for my son between a multitude of friends, in addition to my husband and I having to take time off of work continuously. Thankfully, I work at a childcare center, so my son was able to come to school with me once he reached 18 months of age, but I can't imagine what I would have done if this persisted and I had nowhere for him to go. I probably would have had to quit my job to stay home and care for him. Now, this is just one story of a desperate parent in Slo County, and these are the stories that we're hearing, and these are the stories that we hope to continue gathering. The We Are the Care initiative was born out of the Where's the Care town hall that was held in May of 2019. And over the past 3 years, our work has been inspired by parent and provider voices on the Central Coast. We know that feeling truly heard and knowing that others are deeply listening to our struggles is how we begin to feel supported and how our goals are formed and achieved. Because of this, We Are the Care is launching the Community Voices Tour this month across Slo County. This tour and an accompanying survey will allow us to gather experiences, struggles, victories, and needs from parents and caregivers here in Slo County. This survey will inform our work to identify areas of priority as we continue to shore up supports for all of the children and the childcare system. We have to again extend gratitude to the Atascadero City Council for its continued support. Not only have you truly listened to our message, but you've addressed it and you've asked for more tasks to further champion young children in your community. As we hear from the residents of your town, we will report back to you so that we can all continue to work together to alleviate the childcare crisis. The Community Voices Tour will be at the Atascadero Lake Park Playground on Saturday, June 25th from 9:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. Excuse me. We encourage you and all of the parents of this community to join us and share stories. For ways to get involved with or learn more about We Are the Care, please contact First 5 Slo County or go to first5slo.org. Thank you all so much for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Payne. Is there anyone else wishing to speak? If you're on the webinar, raise your hand. Anyone on the phone, *9. And here in the chambers, I am not seeing anyone. So I will go ahead and close community forum. And since we have no one else wishing to speak, it will remain open until 6:53 p.m. So at this time, we will move on to the next item on our agenda. But if anybody raises a hand on Zoom or in here in the chambers decides that you would like to speak, go ahead and let us know and we will recognize you at the earliest possible opportunity. If you do need to call in to the Zoom meeting, a reminder that phone number is 669-900-6833. All right, thanks to those who commented. And we are now on to our public hearing for weed abatement. And I want to start, this is for a hearing of objections. And I'm going to start to see from my council members if there's any ex parte So looking right to left, seeing no ex parte. And with that, I will hand it over to Chief Casey Bryson for report.
Okay, thank you, Mayor and Council. Good evening. Should be a relatively quick presentation. This is basically the second of three steps in our weed abatement process. First was in April when you declared weeds a fire hazard or nuisance. And then we tonight take the time to hear any objections. If people have an objection to clearing the property. And then third would be confirming the cost of the abatement process at the end, towards the end of summer. Give me just a sec here as we get our screen up and running. Okay, so a little bit of background. As you know, we have multiple steps to reduce fuel in Atascadero among chipping, green waste bins, backyard burning. All those work to reduce the fuel load in Atascadero, which is extremely important. However, weed abatement is by far the most important. It serves to create a mini fuel break between properties. It keeps the fire, if it were to start, out of the ladder fuels like brush and trees, it can move on to homes. And it also keeps the fire small, giving the fire department time to get there. So it is a key piece of our ability to keep the community safe. And it really is the epitome of Defend Atascadero. It's empowering our community to take care of their properties and defend their homes. So the process begins with an inspection, and we get a lot of questions on this inspection process. This is a law that we follow through the state where we do physically have to inspect all 11,000 parcels. We have to get a visual of those properties before they receive that first inspection notice. We mailed out 3,193 this year, which is up about 300 or so from last year. So with our late rains, there are some grass crop growing out there. Towards the end of the process, June 1st is that deadline to have weeds cut. And at that point, we will go out and reinspect those 3,194 parcels. And at that point, if they are not cut, we'll go ahead and tag them and our contractor will begin the abatement process. And just another question we get a lot this time of year is, people call and they feel like that notice that they received is kind of like a citation, or they feel like they did their weed abatement, but they're receiving a bad boy letter because of it, even after doing their abatement. I just want to remind everybody that if you have used a mower or will use a mower or a weed eater on your property, you should receive a notice. So just because you mowed once, they need to be maintained at 4 inches all year round. So if you've used a mower once, they could grow back. And by giving that notice, that gives us the ability to come back maybe after June 1st, later on in the summer, and go ahead and do that weed abatement enforcement. So it's not a punishment, it's not a citation, it's just a reminder to keep your weeds maintained at the right level. So with that, we would be hearing any objections to the proposed removal of vegetative growth. Now, leads me to our recommendations. So hear any objections to proposed removal of vegetative growth and or refuse, and allow or overrule any objections, and then authorize the fire chief to proceed and perform the work of abatement. That concludes the presentation. Be open to any questions.
Thank you, Chief. And yes, this is an important thing we do every year to keep our community safe. I will look to my council members for any questions. Council Member Darris.
I just have one quick question for clarification. If a property was to get tagged for you to have then a contractor go out and do the weed abatement, but the owner realizes that now they're going to get charged for that and they rush out and do it, are they still going to be on the hook for any costs if they get it done before the appointment time for the contractor to come out?
That's a great question. No, they wouldn't be charged anything. So we get that a lot. We'll tag, I think last year, 160 some odd parcels actually were tagged for abatement, and over 100 of them had it done before the contractor came to their property, and we're not going to cut it again. So as long as they get it done before, between that time, between June 1 and the contractor comes, there's no charge.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. I am seeing no other questions. I will go ahead and open up public comment on this item. If you're on the webinar, go ahead and raise your hand. And if you're in the audience here, go ahead and come to the podium.
Thank you, Jeff Oslin. Once again, one quick question for clarification, please. Casey, Chief Bryson, nice presentation. Can we also send a letter out after June 1st giving folks 10 days for the violation before we send a contractor out? I'm just not sure on that. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other members of the public wishing to speak? Anyone on the phone? All right, we'll go ahead and close public comment, and I will bring that back to our chief.
We do not mail out a second notice. So the first notice gives the date. June 1, we will go back to inspect, and we'll mark properties. We're very clear on posting a door hanger. If there's no door, we'll post a flag where the property is in violation, and then they'll start being cut in order as the contractor gets there. So no second mailing.
Thank you. So I will bring that back to council if there's any questions, comments, or a motion.
I'd move staff's recommendation.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Funk, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Newsom. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Bravo?
Yes.
Councilmember Daris?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. We are on to our next public hearing, which is a Proposition 218 majority protest process relative to proposed increase to wastewater or sewer rates. I will look to my colleagues to see if we have any ex parte. Seeing none, then myself, I will hand this over to our public works analyst, Ryan Betts. Cyclist extraordinaire.
Thank you. Good evening, Madam Mayor, members of the City Council. My name is Ryan Betts, Public Works Analyst. I'm here tonight to discuss the Proposition 218 majority protest process relative to the proposed increase to the wastewater, otherwise known as the sewer rates for 2223. Just by way of background, the council looked at this item. We had a little technical difficulties. Let's pause for 1 second. Okay, I think we're back on. Sorry about that. Can you go? We're so close. Okay, we're back on track. Real quick, I'll speed read. By way of background, the council looked at this item back in March 8th. At that meeting, they reviewed the wastewater rate study, and we set a public hearing date for May 10th and directed staff to send notices to regarding the public hearing and proposed wastewater increases. Those mailers were mailed out in March to approximately over 5,400 property owners. That mailer included the proposed increase before you tonight between $34, an increase from $34 to $40.46 per EDU. An EDU stands for equivalent dwelling unit, and that is essentially our foundational base for the amount of gallons, which is around 240 gallons per day, and also takes in consideration the strength of the wastewater. Again, that measures for the single family residence. And so what you'll see on the next slide is a table that breaks down a little bit further depending on the use of that EDU. As you can see in the top, single family is at $40.26 per month. And then for things like apartments and condos, which typically use less wastewater compared to single family residents, that's at 0.75. And as it gets a little bit lower down the table, you can see other different uses identified in the sewer rate study, such as restaurants, bars, laundromats, and so forth. And so this proposed rate schedule was included in that notification that went out in March. It's always good to compare where we're at compared to the other cities and CSDs in the county. The graph before you shows where we kind of stack compared to the other cities. As you can see, that purple line at the very bottom, that is our current rate schedule. And then the purple line, a couple spots above, is the proposed rate. It's important to know that this data is collected in February of this year as we prepare for that March City Council meeting. So staff does assume in many cases that cities like Grover Beach and other CSDs, for example, will be looking at their own sewer rate increases on an annual basis, similar to what is before you tonight. I want to go through just a couple recommendations, and I'm going to turn it over to our city clerk. Again, the recommendation before you is to conduct a public hearing to receive all written and verbal testimony regarding the proposed wastewater, otherwise known as sewer rates, and consider the results protest proceedings in accordance with Proposition 218. And recommendation is to adopt one of the following resolutions certifying the protest results. For a non-majority protest, there is a draft resolution A before you, certifies that the number of valid written protests were not received from property owners representing a majority of the parcels subject to the proposed rate decrease. Or for a majority protest, there's another draft resolution B before you, certifying that the number of valid written protests were received from property owners representing a majority of the parcels subject to the proposed rate increase. And I think I'll turn that over now to our city clerk.
Ryan, first we'll need to open the public hearing and then I can tabulate results and report out.
Wonderful, thank you. So what I'll do is I'll start and I'll find out if we have any questions of staff from the city council.
We do. You might guess what the question is, Mayor. We were wondering, you used the phrase strength of the wastewater. Right. We were wondering, you used the phrase something dependent on the strength of the wastewater. Can you explain that phrase?
Absolutely.
I'm so glad he asked.
That's right.
Curious minds want to know.
I'll take a crack at it, and I'll let Director DeBar answer that. There's two main factors looking at.
If we can maybe have Nick turn off his microphone.
Yeah. And that is the amount of actual water used on average through the day, which is approximately 240 gallons estimated for a single family. And then there's the strength. And I won't go into the scientific details, Councilmember Borbeau, but you have to consider that some uses or some facilities like laundromats, breweries, butcher shops, the strength of their sewer discharge, their affluent, is certainly higher than on average your single family residence. And so those things are treated or put a little bit of harsher burden on the actual wastewater treatment plant. And so the treatment plant in itself has a number of different regulations that it must meet on a daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly basis. And one of that is treating the actual treatment, obviously, the effluents from those discharges. And a lot of that base is on the strength of the discharge.
Great answer. Thank you.
I am not seeing any other questions, so I'm going to go ahead and open this up after that question. What else is there to ask? With that, I will go ahead and open this up to public comment. Is there anybody here in the chambers, anybody on the webinar wishing to speak? You can raise your hand. Anyone on the phone? I'm not seeing anyone in the webinar. I don't think we have anyone on the phone, no one here in the chambers, so I will go ahead and close public comment. And I will ask the city clerk if you've had enough time to tabulate the results.
I have. We received one protest. And so there is the number of valid protests received is insufficient to constitute a majority protest. So no majority protest.
Okay, thank you. So are there any council comments or do we have a motion to approve recommendation 2A?
Yeah, I will move that we adopt resolution A and resolution C.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Council Member Borbeau, a second by Council Member Funk. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Right. And then do we have a motion? Wait, did you put number 3 in there? Oh, you did. Okay, we're all together. I thought I heard you say that. And I was like, wait a minute, we have them separate here. All right, we're so efficient. Let's go. All right, thank you. We are on to our management report, the only one we have today, which is AB 481 military equipment policy. And I will turn this over to the chief.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and Council. Before you tonight is a resolution regarding AB 481 military equipment policy. We briefly discussed this at the last council meeting, kind of as a way to sunshine events. It is in result of AB 481, a Senate bill before the California Senate, declaring that police agencies would have to declare and get approval from city council to have what they qualified as military equipment. Military equipment in the eyes of the state could be a command vehicle, a drone, patrol rifles, 40-millimeter kinetic energy launchers, things of that nature. And it also requires that we have a policy in place and that policy be approved by council. We discussed briefly that we don't have a lot of military equipment in Atascadero. We do maintain patrol rifles and we do maintain 40-millimeter kinetic energy launchers. Which common term is called a beanbag round or a soft round, sponge round. And those are basically what we maintain at Atascadero Police Department. Patrol rifles are used for a longer range weapon, more accurate than a pistol outside of a certain distance. And then the 40-millimeter kinetic energy is used for distances above 15 feet, which is the accurate distance of a taser. So those are the two options and the two types of military equipment we maintain at Atascadero, and just seeking the council's approval to continue the use of those things and to approve our policy.
Thank you, Chief. And we did go over this pretty thoroughly at the last meeting. I had also sort of let people know about this in a summary. Kind of a recap I do of the meeting. I didn't really get any feedback, and I'm wondering if at the city, did we get questions or feedback in the interim on the policy?
My office didn't receive any questions or feedback. Part of our policy does require that every May we sunshine this again and ask for feedback from the community, and we'll be doing that in a community forum held in the city by the police department to engage the community.
Wonderful, thank you. I will look to my council members to see if we have any questions.
Just real quick, Chief, did you say that annual meeting you have, that'll be next May, is that right?
Correct, that'll be next May.
Got it, thank you.
I will now open up public comment. If there's any members of the public wishing to speak on this in present or anyone in the webinar, go ahead and raise your hand. If you're on this phone, *9. I am not seeing any, so we will go ahead and close public comment and I will bring that back for a motion.
I'll move to approve AB 481 military equipment policy.
I'll second. Hey, Brian.
Okay. What the appropriate action here would be to request that council introduce for the first reading by title only the draft ordinance. So that would be the appropriate motion.
Pardon me, read from the wrong part. Okay, so I'll move that the council introduce for first reading by title only a draft ordinance adopting military equipment policy in accordance with Assembly Bill 481. Thank you.
I'll go ahead and second it again. Thank you. We've got a motion by Councilmember Darris and a second by by Mayor Pro Tem Newsom. And the city clerk will now read the title of the ordinance.
An ordinance of the City Council of the City of Atascadero, California, adopting a military equipment use policy in accordance with AB 481. Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Councilmember Borbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Newsom?
Yes.
Ma'am Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. All right, we'll now move on to council announcements and committee reports, and I will just kind of go down the row here. Nothing from...
Yes, the IWMA, or Integrated Waste Management Authority, will have its full board meeting tomorrow, and there'll be several items of discussion, but a primary note would be that we will be interviewing our last candidate for executive director. We interviewed three candidates at a special meeting last Friday. And so then we will go into closed session later in the meeting to discuss and make a recommendation for hiring a new executive director.
And go ahead.
I have nothing to report.
The Homeless Services Oversight Council will be meeting on May 18th. And that agenda is not out yet, but I'm sure we'll continue discussing things with regard to the strategic plan to address homelessness countywide. That steering committee is very active, and we're looking to wrap up all of the detailed level of the plan shortly so that we can get that out into public circulation very broadly for venues. I also was at the River Beach City Council last night, presenting similarly to what I did with this body at our last meeting.
Thank you. Last time I reported that I had reached the following day, and I had that on my calendar, and comes time, and turns out we did not have reach. It's this month. So you ever find like an hour and a half in your schedule where you're like, that's cool. That happened to me. let's see, we have a citywide, countywide, sorry, mayor's, what is called City Selection Committee. There we go, which is all the mayors. And we did appoint the two individuals to the airport board. And it was just two that applied. One was already on and was asking to be reappointed, and another one who had some experience in that area and came well recommended by the retiring board member. So that was good. I had an RTA meeting. Just want to note to the public out there, RTA is very short of bus drivers, has been for some time, both full-time and part-time positions. So if there's anyone out there, anyone that you know that is, you know, that would be in the realm of a career for you, please do look into that with the Regional Transit Authority. A couple of things just of note. We, of course, we probably reported this here before, but there's the potential of two of the three urbanized areas here in San Luis Obispo County being downgraded to rural, and Atascadero Paso would be one of those. There could be some possible benefits of different types of money that would be available, but in terms of transit funding, the overall pot of $6 billion goes down to about $700 million for rural areas. So we're not excited about that prospect, but it's looking more likely than not. And then the state legislature is looking to possibly do a fare free service, which would include our Dial Ride and others. There are some issues that transit agencies have brought up to the legislature, but what I'm understanding from RTA is that Sacramento is not really listening to what transit is saying. I guess we shouldn't be terribly surprised, but that is still yet to come to see what that might look like. And with that, we will move on to if we've got any individual determinations or actions. I am not seeing any. So the City Council will now recess to a closed session. And I will now ask if we have any, let's see, closed session. I will ask our city attorney. There he is. I'll ask our, we had you in person last time. So now it's like I'm turning to my left and you're not there. All right, on screen, our city attorney to let us know what the items are we'll be addressing.
Yes, we have two closed session items tonight. One is a conference with real property negotiators. That's authorized by Government Code Section 54956.8. Real property is located at 5970 El Camino Real. The APN number is in the agenda. The agency negotiator is your city manager. The negotiating parties are listed in the agenda, and subject of negotiations are purchase price and terms of payment. The second closed session item is a conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation, significant exposure to litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9D2, one potential case, California Voting Rights Act.
Thank you, Mr. Perrick. And community forum is now officially closed, by the way. I thought you'd appreciate that, Brian. With that, I will ask if there's any members of the public wishing to speak on that item. You can raise your hand if you're on the webinar, star 9 on the phone. Any members of the public wishing to speak? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and close public comment, and the council will now go into closed session. And if there is any reportable action, we will have our city attorney report out on that at our next meeting on May 24th. So with that, good evening all.